Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, I pray, Lord, for your kingdom come and your will to be done in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, not for anything ordinary to happen in here, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, because you're an extraordinary God, Lord, and you do amazing things, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, that a spirit of expectation, Lord, would rise among your people here today, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, we praise you because you're great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for releasing heaven here on earth in this place, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for gathering your people together in your name. I thank you, Lord, for gathering your people together, Lord, just not in any church, not in any house, but it is your house. It is a spirit-filled house. It is a spirit-led house in Jesus' name, Lord. The things that are happening today are going to happen today, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We're going to thank you and praise you in expectation today, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being in the house. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We're going to praise you, Lord, for who you are in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together.
Sing this old song. I get this to flip. Sorry. There we go. What do we do before technology? I mean, really. We were going to just go right out of that into these other old songs, so you'll know these too. Well, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Well, when I think of the goodness of Jesus
again. so much for me. I cannot stand alone. He has taken my sin away.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you saved.
If you wish, start with the verse.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
Cause you to respond that way in worship. It's just like we get the checkup from the neck up and you think about how good he's been to me personally. You can say that to yourself. God has been good to me. Wanting to worship him is just, it just seems natural. It doesn't seem like a chore or anything for what he's done for me. I'm thankful for what he's done for me. I need to think about those times of what he's done for me. when that happens, there's something deep inside. That worship, when you sing My Soul, when you sing from that depth, you're reaching back. You're remembering. Lord, you did that for me. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be breathing here today. I wouldn't be 6 feet above ground. If it wasn't for you, I would not be here. It causes an expression of worship that's just, it's hard to even put in words. So when you go from natural to supernatural, it's like, I can't get these words out. I can't express adequately how I feel. And thank you, God, for all that you've done for me and who you are. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to speak on a particular subject, and it's going to be about the discipline of fasting. And I feel like it's an appropriate, it's a timing thing. We're going back to the basics on Sunday night, and we're dedicating time for prayer. We're not doing anything else. And what I'm seeing here, when I come here Sunday morning, I got here a little earlier than I usually do, and there's already people praying up at the altar, and there's children praying. And I put on Facebook this morning about there's these young men over here on the one side, and this was a couple weeks ago, but one young man is praying for another young man. There's an appetite, and I believe God is going to reward our appetite. He sees your appetite, and the children are feeding off that, and we see their appetite, and we're kind of feeding off each other, and there's a spiritual hunger that's rising up within us, within this church, that I believe God is going to greatly reward us. We're not satisfied with the ordinary. We don't see things as the way they are right now, as they're always going to be. The speaker, I can't remember his name, on Friday night, Brother Kenzie, was that his name? He said, say it before you see it. We need to say things and continually say them before we see it. And I'm not discouraged. I'm encouraged. And it may sound foolish to the average person. You'd be like, what are you talking about? Are you kidding? What do you mean this place is going to be packed out? What do you mean there's going to be standing room on both sides? Are you out of your mind? I'm going to say it before I see it. Standing room only on the corner of Eddie and Third. Revival. People being filled with the Holy Ghost continually in every service. People being baptized in Jesus' name in every service. People lined up out the door waiting to get in to be changed. Every service to go down in the precious name of Jesus. I'm going to say it before I see it. I'm not satisfied, and I don't believe anybody else here is satisfied right now. There's a spiritual hunger within this church to say, I want more. I want more of you, God. I'm not satisfied. It is so evident and obvious, or I would not be saying this today. I'll get started here. We are talking about the discipline of fasting today. After I get on my text and towards the end of the service, if you have personally fasted for a situation where you've done something in secret and God has rewarded you openly, and maybe it's affected you personally, or maybe your praying has affected, as you've seen it affect a situation that you prayed for, I would encourage you, if you could think about that for the next few minutes, maybe share that with the church, because we need to be encouraged in our personal walk with God. And we need to kind of feed off each other. And if there's something that maybe you've done in secret and you know that God has rewarded you openly, that would maybe encourage one of us that maybe has been stagnant in maybe exercising the practice of the discipline of fasting and the benefits of it. It's something that is something for all of us to do. And it's just a part of our walking relationship with God. Praying and fasting, it just goes together. It's natural. So we're going to get into our text, and it's Isaiah 58, 3 through 7. It says, wherefore have ye fasted, say they that thou seest not? Wherefore have ye afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exalt all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and do smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a burlish and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring to the poor that are cast out into thy house when thou seest the naked, and when thou and thou, thou cover them, and that thou hide not thyself in thy own flesh. You can be seated at this time. I'm going to go on about three more verses in the New Testament in Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now therefore, where there were in the church that was in Antioch, certain priests and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate ye Barnabas and Saul for the work thereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That is incredible that when there was a time of praying and fasting, when that was incorporated together, God spoke. God spoke and gave instruction. They fasted and prayed for direction, and God spoke immediately right in the middle of that prayer service. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to be specific. There's multiple people here in this prayer meeting, but I'm going to call two out. That is incredible to get that kind of direction and answer from the Lord. A lot of times we pray, and it seems like it's going in one of God's ears and out the other, and we're just not getting anywhere. We're just getting repetitious and stagnant. And God does not want our prayers to be repetition and stagnant. He wants them to be effectual, fervent prayers that availeth much. He wants them to change things, to change your personal situation. He wants you to pray in a way that's going to change the world around you. That's the kind of prayer that He wants. There was I'm going right back to this, and I wasn't. This wasn't even in my notes, but was Brother Kinsey. He was mentored by so many people, and a little snippet of things that he relayed to us, other men of God poured into him. And I think, I don't know if it was J.T. Pugh, he would talk to him, and he goes, let's go to the church and let's pray. And J.T. Pugh would go pray by himself, and Brother Kinsey would go pray over here. Then he would walk over to him, to Brother Kinsey, and Brother Kinsey, I don't know if this is the way he prayed, but he was just quiet and to himself and didn't say nothing. And Brother J.T. Pugh came over to him while he was praying. It was just the two of them, whether two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. There's a prayer meeting. You only need two to have a prayer meeting for God to show up. And he put his arms around him, Brother Kinsey, and said, Lord, I pray, Lord, that Brother Kinsey would grasp the reality and pray with passion. And a lot of times we can pray, but we lack passion. God wants us to renew our passion and pray. That effectual, fervent prayer. You know what? Some of us miss that. We all do at times where we just kind of go and do a routine. And everything can be a routine in life. And getting up and doing our devotions could be a routine. Praying for a meal could be a routine. And we lose our thankfulness for it. It's just kind of mundane. It's just a ritual. We need to break that mold, break that yoke of being in a ritual. God wants to do things, and He wants to break that yoke of so many things in our personal life and in the lives of others that we pray for. It was during the 2016 the Republican presidential primary, conservative talk show host Glenn Beck took an unusual step for commentary politics. He called for his audience to fast for America. He called for national repentance. Beck's call for fast was quickly met with ridicule by the mainstream media outlets. Rather than recanting, Beck doubled down. He said this, I own my own comments and actions and encourage others to do the same. Beck said, prayer, fasting, and asking for a humbling of ourselves and nation. I pray and fast not just for Ted Cruz to win at the time, but for His will to be done and that our will and wants will align with His. Join me tomorrow. This was on April 15th of 2016. This is what Glenn Beck did. It seems unusual for politics, but it's common in biblical times and even today. Brother Haney, a former general superintendent of the UPCI and former pastor of the Christian Life Center in Stockton, California, said this, revival has come to Stockton, California through several things, but one of the most important factors has been consistent prayer and fasting. You want to know why are things not happening the way it should? Why am I doing, I'm doing everything that I think I need to do, but prayer and fasting, when you fast, you're ratcheting up the intensity of your prayer life. You're ratcheting up the intensity of your walk with God. You're saying, I'm not satisfied anymore. I'm giving up this earthly appetite, and I am I'm exchanging it for something more spiritual. I am hungry for you, God. I want more of you, God. I believe I am speaking to a hungry church here this morning that are hungry for more of God. I want more of you, God. I am not satisfied. I'm not satisfied until I see more people at the altar. I'm not satisfied until I see people praying through to the Holy Ghost. I am not satisfied until I see more people baptized in Jesus' name. There's a holy hunger in this place. I could feel it. You know what? There are some quiet giants in here. There's the ones that you've been praying this. You've been praying this at your home, and nobody knows it but you and God. But I'm here to tell you today that God has heard your prayer. He is here to answer your prayer. There needs to be an expectation, Brother Al, that when we pray for certain individuals that during a prayer service or during worship, God says, if I will be lifted up, I will bring all men to me, that we see them come during the worship and prayer service, because I'm here to testify that I came during the worship service on a Sunday night because people, I believe, were praying for me before service, but God was being lifted up during the service, and that drew me. I was in my house, and it was... church just started. It was like 10 minutes after church started. I'm like, I got to get into the house of God. There's something drawing me. And, you know, it's like God control animals that don't have a soul. God control me where I'm at. God control your loved one where they're at right now. You know what? Brother Al, is this okay? Can I high five you? This is in advance. This is in faith for somebody that's going to come through these doors that we've been praying for. By faith, I'm going to, Brother Kellum, can I do this? I don't know who you've been praying for. I want to high-five you, brother. We're going to make eye contact when we see that happen, okay? And everybody else is here to witness to say, I'm excited to see when I make it into the house of God by faith, because God is going to reward us openly for what we do in secret. Those prayer-pressed tears, they're going to be so worth it all someday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When William Seymour arrived in Los Angeles, he was a member of the Charles Ferrum's Apostolic Faith Movement. This movement longed to restore the church to its Books of Acts roots. Edward Lee family, who had been members of the Santa Fe Mission, invited Seymour to stay with him until he figured out his next move. William Seymour was instrumental in the Azusa Street Revival. He was just before this, he was kicked out of a different area because he believed that being baptized in Jesus or being filled with the Holy Ghost was met with speaking in tongues. He did not receive it yet, but he had a hunger and thirst for it. So God brought him to other people. And God is going to bring hungry people to other hungry people. I believe that. I believe God's going to bring some people that have been hungering for God into this sheepfold in the near future, in the days to come, in Jesus' name. At this time, despite his preaching, Seymour had not himself had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was hungry for the experience, though. So too were the Lee family and other family from the Santa Fe Mission, the Richard Asbury family. Seymour and these families met frequently at the Asbury home on Bonnie Bay Street. They prayed and fasted to prepare their hearts for the Spirit of God. On April 9th of 2006, Edward Lee received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then a growing number of people experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The group outgrew the Asbury home and relocated to a former AME church on Azusa Street. From there, the famous Azusa Street Revival touched the world. Just a few hungry souls, Brother Al. I think there's more than just a few hungry souls in here. There's a few more than just a few hungry families that are just desperate for God to do what he did before. If God did it before, he will do it again. I am confident in this. I am expecting this. Expectation comes before the miraculous. I'm expecting those miracles to happen. I'm respecting that resurrection from those ones that are spiritually dead right now. They are dead in their sins. They've been walking dead in their sins. They may be in at a bar on a Saturday night, but on a Sunday morning, their lives are going to be forever changed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Does anybody agree with me in expecting that God is going to do something? It only said I need two or three. I need just one other person to agree with me that God is going to do it. I believe it. We're going to expect it. Those high fives are in faith in advance. I praise him in faith in advance for things before he does it. We're celebrating in advance in expectation that God is going to do what he's going to do. In Jesus' name, I am so thankful for that. Oh, man, there's a hunger in this place. There is a hunger for more of God. There is a hunger to see God do what we've heard him say he was going to do all these years. He did not let that depart from you. It did not fade away. It may have been in the back of your mind at times, but he's bringing them back forward. He's bringing them back front and center. I'm going to do this. I said I was going to do it. I didn't waste my words. Whatever I do, whatever I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter who's come and gone. I'm going to do it because I said I would do it, because I'm a God of promise. And what I say, I will do. We get distracted so many times by what we hear after we hear the word from the Lord. We hear the screaming. We hear the noises. I was doing an object lesson Wednesday night in the youth classroom about letting God be your guide. And I had everybody that had a cell phone turn their cell phone on. And I said, put it up to the ear. And I had Austin, I said, face this way. And we made an obstacle course behind him. And I blindfolded him. And I said, where you're standing, I'm going to get you to the other side of the classroom. But you can't see. You just got to hear my voice. And I said, come forward. Stop, turn to your right. Okay, take two steps. Come forward again. And then whole time, everybody had their phones jacked up on social media, on YouTube, all the way up. I allowed it. It's okay. I wanted to do that to illustrate something. But a lot of times we hear things and we get distracted by those loud voices. But God is that steady voice. He is reminding. He is renewing our hope. What I told you many years ago, it's going to happen. You've been distracted. Naysayers and doubters have mocked you and ridiculed you, but it doesn't matter because I'm a God of promise. I will do what I said I will do in Jesus' name. Food is not a bad thing. We need it for life to sustain us. Just like we need spiritual food to be spiritually fed, I need physical food. So physical food is not a bad thing. And we should never look at it that way. We should be so spiritual that we say, oh, food is such a bad thing. When on all four Gospels, it's mentioned that Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus wanted to get away to be alone. But their hunger, their spiritual hunger, took them out to the wilderness. They were drawn with Jesus. Jesus said, I need a time of rest. I've been ministering. I want to be alone. But Jesus was followed with his entourage of 5,000 people. He didn't ridicule them. He kept feeding them spiritually. At the end of the day, he performed a miracle with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't do that to prove to them because they were so unspiritual. They didn't need to witness the miracle. They did that because, you know what? I'm going to feed you spiritually, but I'm going to feed you physically as well. So we all need to be spiritually fed, and we need to be physically fed. It's not a necessary evil. And at this time of year, we're going to be bombarded. I'm already bombarded. There's so many things, and I had to cut myself off last week on all this chocolate that's left over. I'm amazed. I'm like, they're like giving it away at the stores. I'm like, stop it. Guys at work are handing me this stuff. I'm like, no. Thanksgiving is like 2 weeks. I need a kind of little reprieve from this. So food is, it's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. During times of feast in the Bible, it was time for celebration. And people came together during times of the celebration, and they were feast, and they were not fast. On the Day of Atonement, there was a time of fast, and it was a time of remembrance where nobody ate and nobody drank for that day. And that was a time to remember what God has done for them, where God has delivered them. So nobody ate and nobody drank that day on the Day of Atonement. And that was a time to repent and to turn. If their heart wasn't turned to them before the Day of Atonement, that was the day I'm going to put everything aside. I'm going to stop everything, and I'm going to turn my heart and my mind back to God here today, because I'm going to look back and remember what he did for me and my people in the past. And we should do that. The enemy tries to make us look back to what we've done wrong. I need to look back and see what the goodness of God that he has done for me. I'm just looking in the wrong mirror. I got two rearview mirrors, and I'm looking at the one the enemy's trying to show me, and I need to see the one that God is showing me. So it's incredible the concentration that we sometimes need to even listen to the enemy at times. And so it's almost like foolish. I'm like, what? God. He goes before me. I said this before. His goodness and mercy follows me. How hard is it? I have to make an effort to if the enemy is behind there, I have to make an effort to listen to what he has to say. I want to be spirit led. I need to go through this. It's 10:30 right now. After Jonah's condemnation and a call for judgment to their city, the people of Nineveh repented of their sin and pleaded for mercy. All of the city, even the domestic animals, were robed in sackcloth, and together they fasted and attempted to demonstrate the depth of their repentance. Physical healing was another reason for urgent prayer, and sometimes when praying for healing, they also fasted. In this scripture, many of us have been to the bread program, and it's amazing how when you read something, something just pops out that I'm like, I didn't notice that before, and I've read this multiple times. And this is in Psalms 35, 13 and 14. It says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was in sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother." This is David praying for his enemy. You know what? When I read that, I'm like, man, I got a long ways to go. Somebody false accused him. They're backbiting. They're wanting to destroy him. And he is praying and fasting for them when they're sick in body. Maybe they have a sick loved one. And he just takes time out to push that back. Wow, what a prayer life. What something about lining my will up with his will, getting me out of the way. That's like what Glenn Beck was spot on. He's like, I'm not praying for any particular, you know, I don't want you to pray for any particular nominee. I want you to line up your will with God's will right now. And that's what it's really all about. When that's lined up, it seems like everything else just seems to fall in place. It's like when I'm in my flesh, when I'm in my own human understanding, my own human nature, things are kind of like I'm bumping and grinding. But if I'm out of the way and I line up my will with his will and my heart with his heart, it just seems like everything just seems to go a lot better, you know, in life. I'm here to encourage you. Line up. If you haven't prayed this in a while, just, Lord, I want to line my heart and my mind up with your heart and your will. Even when I don't understand, I just want to trust you. I can't do this on my own. I can't see things from your perspective. I'm, Lord, be it unto me according to your will. And things will go smooth in your life. You can go through fires and not even get burned. It's incredible. God, he wants to do that for all of us. He's like, I don't want you to get beat up. He goes, I take my yoke upon you. It's a light one. It's not burdensome. He goes, walk this walk with me. Don't try to do this on your own. That's when you get beat up. Let's see. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work thereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Fasting and prayer help make them able to discern God's direction in their lives. You and I both need God's direction in our lives. Lord, I don't know what to do here right now in this present time of my life, but you said, if I acknowledge you in all my ways, you will direct my path. You know what that means? I'm not responsible for this. I release that responsibility for that particular thing in my life to him. I surrender to him. It's on him now. It's not on me. And that heavy weight, it gets a lot lighter. God's like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And a lot of times we'll carry it for so long because, you know what, we feel like we build up an endurance for carrying things. He goes, I didn't want you to do that. And to prove that, maybe he'll put some heavier things on you to make it seem unbearable. And he's been trying to tell you the whole time, release that. Get that off of you. Let me handle it. Acknowledge me. Sometimes it'll take us to a brink to where we hit our breaking point and we hit our knees. He's like, you didn't even have to go this far. I just want you to acknowledge me in all your everything that you do, and I will direct your path. It's not complicated. Sometimes we overcomplicate it with our human nature and our human understanding. Sometimes we're in the flesh, and he's like, get out of the flesh, get in the spirit. Haman had such a hatred for Queen Esther's uncle, Mordecai, that he had planned his death and for all of God's people. The Jews prayed for the king and for Esther to have the right words to say and the right temperament to say them. Esther told her uncle in Esther 4:16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink the 3 days, day nor night. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. When they prayed and fasted, not only did God's people were saved, but the enemy was hanged on the gallows that was intended for Mordecai. Those evil words, those backbiters, those ones that, those false accusers, when we line up our heart and our mind with God's will and God's mind, what the enemy has planned for us, he will turn around and use it on the enemy. And because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I don't have to worry about it. There's peace of mind. There's peace of mind when I acknowledge him. There's peace of mind when I let things go, when I pray and I fast. And the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. And it's going to cause things to happen. They don't always happen the way we would like it to. And we pray for hope. And here's an example in 2 Samuel 12:20-21. It says, then David rose from the earth, and this is after he found out that his son that he had with Bathsheba had passed away, and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came unto the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said the servant unto him, what thing is it that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou arise and ate bread. It made sense to David because David had hope. It wasn't final yet. His heart did not stop beating. So as long as he had breath in his lungs and as long as his heart was beating, he was still praying. He was still hoping. And it was a custom and ritual to take time out and fast after a death, you would say, after something like that would happen. But God knows our heart, and many people are going to be misunderstood. Hannah was another one that was misunderstood. She was the one that prayed. She wanted a child so bad it hurt her. She couldn't get the words out right. She had such an anguish on her face that the priest misunderstood her when she was in the house of the Lord praying. She goes, what are you, drunk? What's the matter with you? No, I'm praying for a child. It's an earnest and it's an effectual fervent prayer. That time a year later, she had a child. Well, you may be misunderstood even in the own house of God, but God does not misunderstand you. You may be able to pray an intercessory prayer. You may be able to pray fervently, and you may be in a dimension that some of the people have never gotten to in their life, but God understands you. God sees that you've gone through things and what you've been through, and he has anointed you, and these prayers are different. These prayers aren't like anybody else's because nobody else has walked in your shoes. There's such an anointing upon so many people in this church. It's incredible. That's why your prayers are so effective. I am glad that I don't just walk into any building that resembles a church. I walk into the house of God. I walk into a spirit-filled house that is when men of God are moved by the Holy Ghost and led by the Holy Ghost to preach. They are led with the God, Spirit of God leads them to speak. It is not nothing that they go in their back office. And so far, I have not seen in Brother Wells' office, there's like a pin the tail on the donkey, and he blindfolds himself, and he shoots a dart and says, I'm going to preach. Oh, I'll preach that one. No, he won't do nothing until he hears from God himself. And I remember this not too long ago that he did not even know what to preach on a Sunday morning until after the service started. And it was about the story about Ruth and Naomi. And I'm thankful to be in a part of a church that we hear from God, and it is nothing's mechanical here. It's intentional. Just like fasting. When you pray and fast, it's not mechanical. It should never be mechanical because God will allow certain situations in your life to go through to draw you to times of fasting. I believe, yes, that we do need to have a time once a week or once a month or once a year where we fast and consecrate ourselves before God. That is very important. But God will allow certain things in our life to arise to say, you know what? It's going to take more than just my average prayer time. It's going to take more than my 10-minute devotion in the morning or my walk and talk on my way to work on this particular day. I need more from you, God. I'm not satisfied. I need the situation to change. I need you to intervene. I need you to speak. I need you to move on my behalf because certain things are out of my control. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. What a peace we can have if we just did that. In addition to showing us proper ways to fast, certain attitudes and actions make fasting unacceptable to God. Don't just fast and go hide in a closet. Proper fasting will release a spiritual sensitivity to act. This is in Isaiah 58. I'm going to do the NIV version of this. It says, "Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and unite the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on the Lord, will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Wow. Take those three verses with you throughout this week. If you don't remember any other scripture, take those three verses. Lining up with my will with his will when praying and fasting properly, those actions set the oppressed free, causes my light to shine. In verse 8, it says, "My healing will quickly appear." And God also says, "I will have your back." Wow. There's healing. He's got my back. The light shines brightly. There's something that happens once a year in this particular community. And I believe this church is a beacon of hope, is a lighthouse. And one of the people are selling Halloween. We're having a harvest party. And we're using food as a time of community. And there is a deepening and there's a strengthening of this church is going deeper and deeper in this community and roots are being set. And it's just, when roots are being set deeper, that means the foundation of it is greater for that building to be built bigger on. And I'm thankful for the core. I'm thankful for this church. And I've been in churches that have been many times bigger than this, and they have a core similar to this. And God has equipped us. He's brought people from the north and the south, the east and the west. He's retransplanted people in this church for that building. Roots have been planted. Foundation has been laid. Say it before you see it. God is here, and he's here to do great things. He is here to grow. I'm continually growing every week, but he wants to grow this church numerically. He wants the kingdom of God to be added daily. I just need to be expecting that. Lord, my expectation comes from you. There's biblical examples of fasting for hope, for healing, for longing, for mourning, for desperation, for direction, and for anointing. If you feel spiritually stagnant lately, I encourage you to pray, 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 long for him. Let it be God that does it and not that you do it on your own doing. There is nothing more rewarding than having a hunger for more of God in every part of my life personally. Does anybody have something that they could quickly share with the church to say, you know what, I've seen God work in a way when I prayed and fasted, God rewarded openly what I've done in secretly. Is there anybody quickly before we turn it over? Brother Kellum, I want you to have the mic here.
I'll try and quickly go through this. The only reason I'm sharing it, God knows my heart, but a testimony came up to my memory as soon as he said it. And about a year ago, I had a meeting with a whole bunch of vendors. And at the time, I was very, very sick. And I knew I had to be at that meeting. I just didn't feel like being at that meeting. And I struggled through that meeting. And one vendor that put the meeting on noticed how sick I was and, you know, came up to me and, you know, kind of had some compassion. And at that time, I had no word from the doctors. Nobody, I was going through so many tests. And I just remember telling the person, you know, God is in control. And I try to keep a smile and everything like that. Well, anyway, fast forward to just here recently, we had that same meeting, but this time it was just me and the vendor. and nobody else showed up. And so we're sitting there, we're talking, and the vendor, this lady, she's a very proud woman, and she works around all construction, so she's around guys all the time. So I didn't take that as a negative, as her being a proud person, but she knows her business, and she's known me for quite a long time. But I've never had an opportunity to share the gospel with her. The door never had opened, Brother Tom. But here it was, just her and I, one-on-one in this meeting. And she asked me, she goes, "How are you doing?" And she goes, I know a year ago you were so sick, and it seemed like every bone in your body was hurting. And you know, I don't wear that on my sleeve. I don't tell people how I was feeling. It's just she'd asked some questions a year ago, so I answered. So this time I answered, and I had a big smile on my face. I said, "You're not going to believe this." And I said, "But since you asked, I shared the story with her, and I went into detail, and I explained how God had moved, and how, even embarrassingly enough, God had used even some of the sermons and some of the teachings that he spoke through me as I was listening to him from our church website, and I was, like, encouraging myself, if you will, and practicing what you preach, and I'm seeing Waymaker, and I'm seeing all these things that God is," and there was a scripture God put in my heart, and I shared with her. I said, "You know, this has always been one of my favorite scriptures, but it really drove home with me, and it was Psalms 118, verse 8. And I wasn't getting no answers from the doctors, but as the verse says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." And I told her, I said, "You know, there's one thing that I've been praying about." You talk about prayer today, and this, I think, this is the reason why God gave me this testimony and memory, is I've been praying that when I was praying, and I was in kind of deep despair, and it was just me, and I kind of felt alone, and God just spoke to me, and he told me some reasons, because I, you know, you're searching for a reason for it all, if you will. And one thing that came out real loud was, "This is going to build somebody's faith." And, well, a year later, I hadn't seen that happen. Not that I knew of, and I figured, well, God, if you're going to let me know that, I started praying for this person. I said, "I don't know who this person is, God, but I'm going to pray for this nameless person." And while I'm sharing this testimony with this lady, this proud woman, tears started, I mean, her makeup was just smearing, and it was just really sobbing, and she's across from the table there. And I said, "You know, God allowed me just to have a little bit of knowledge," and I'd searched, and I told the doctor, "Hey, you should run this test," and then that just snowballed, and they found out what was going on. And I said, "All those symptoms that you seen me from a year ago, they're gone." And I told her, I said, "No, I'm still struggling. I still have some issues, but, you know, if God took care of all of these things, I know he's going to take care and finish what he started." And so then she had to share something back with me, and she's barely talking at this point. She's really crying. And she goes, "This morning when I woke up," she goes, I had recently given my heart to the Lord," she said. And she goes, "But I was really getting hit hard this morning. I prayed, and I said, God, is there still faith in this world?" And she goes, "I had a meeting just before this at another city, and she met somebody that had a similar situation to mine and that stood on the promises of God. And I know this body is temporal, and I know we're going to get sick. But just like this other individual in another city, he's put his trust in God, and God healed him." And she said, "I seen faith." But then she questioned God. She goes, "I didn't see enough. I want to see more." And then my meeting was right after that, and she's just bawling her eyes out. She goes, "I know that God is real." And she goes, "I know that God still answers prayer." That came right out of her mouth. "I know that God still answers prayer." And I said, "You can bet your life on it." Praise God.
One more thing, if we can stand at this time. I just want to, I have two books that I want to encourage you, if you're looking to purchase a book, When You Fast by Joy Haney is it's an easy read. If you desire more fasting, Fasting by Jensen Franklin is a really good one. I do have two books here, and anybody that wants to use them can. Just see me after service, and I will loan them out to you. But if they're gone and somebody else gets them before you do, I encourage you to get on Amazon, pick one up. They're not that expensive, and you will be blessed.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army.
There's an army. Right. Break every chain. Break every chain.